Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Is It Wise to Follow Your Heart? And I want to ask you, is it wise for us as Christians to follow our hearts, emotions, feelings, or not? What part are they to play in our lives? And should we let them lead us and guide us?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series that we've been looking at in the last number of weeks at Wisdom, and this is the final sermon in this series. So far, we've looked at seeking wisdom with all our heart. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Speaking wise words, hearing wisely. Last week, the wisdom of forgiveness. This week, I'd like to look with you at, is it wise for us to follow our hearts and our emotions and our feelings? What does God have to say to us about that? Are these things that should lead us and guide us in life? Is that wisdom for us as Christians? If not, what else is there to follow? Well, let's take a look at this today and see what God would teach us about. Is it wise to follow our hearts, emotions, and feelings? What does God have to say to us about that? Well, first off, certainly we can see that we all have a heart and emotions and feelings. And that is, these things are not bad in and of themselves. They're actually how you're created, how God designed you, how he made you. And if you look at the Bible, all the saints, all the greats throughout the scriptures have always had all the same gamut of emotions and heart that we have. You might think, you know, these guys were a cut above. These were superheroes. These were superhumans. They were not quite like us. And you know why? Because I think we look at these pictures of stained glass. Not that these are bad, but we always see these pictures of stained glass saints, and they just don't look real to us. But think about it. David, for example, in 2 Samuel 6, verse 8, he had anger. David was angry because the Lord had broken forth upon Uzzah, and he felt love. Psalm 16, he says, as for the saints in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. So he had anger, and he had love. He had great fear. Even David, Psalm 55, it says, fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. But this same David was courageous at other times. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He also had joy. Psalm 4, thou hast put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. But he also had great sorrows. Psalm 13, he says, how long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? And so you see, David was just like we are, just like you and me. All the gamut of emotions. These things aren't bad in and of themselves. Even Jesus had all these things, a heart and emotions and feelings. You know, of all people, we think he would be a cut above, right? And you know what I think is to blame for that partially? Is those old Renaissance-esque paintings of him, remember? Where there's like this storm at sea and everything's all dark and churning. And then in the midst of them is this man clothed in white in the midst of the storm. And everybody else is terrified. And he's sort of like looking like some placid, out of touch, totally not real person. Is that this Jesus of the scriptures and of the Bible and of history? A placid, out-of-touch, otherworldly kind of guy? Is that God's son? No, Jesus had a heart and emotions and feelings, just like you and I have. I remember his pity and compassion when he saw a great crowd in Mark 6. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he felt love and pity, but he also had great anger. John 2 says, in the temple, he found those who were selling the oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers at their business, and making a whip of cords, he drove them out with the oxen and sheep out of the temple, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Now, do you think when he was doing that, he was sort of like just this pasty sort of otherworldly, like, shoo, out of the temple, please, go, go, go. He was, zeal for God's house consumed him, and he drove them out with anger. to clean God's house. Also, he had joy. He says in John 15, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And then he also, even Jesus, had great sorrow and trouble. At the time of his cross, John 12, he says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, for this purpose I've come to this hour." And so even Jesus' heart at times was troubled and unsettled and sorrowful. And his sweat at the garden became like great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And so Jesus had a heart. Jesus had emotions and feelings. They're not bad in and of themselves. That's how we're designed. And even God, you know, has great anger at his day of wrath. Isaiah 13, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel with wrath and fierce anger." But also, he has great compassion. When he's about to smite his people, he says in Hosea, "How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender." Does God have a heart? Does he have feelings and emotions as well? And even joy. Zephaniah 3, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He'll rejoice over you with gladness. He'll renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." God feels joy. And so let's just understand at the start, y'all have a heart. Y'all have emotions. Y'all have feelings. These are not bad in and of themselves. It's how you're designed. Jesus is that way too. And we're made in God's image. And he has these things. But the question now today we need to ask is it wise for us to follow our hearts? Is that a good thing and a wise thing for us to do, to let them lead us and to take counsel of our emotions? Is that wise? Well, you know the world's answer to this question, which is absolutely, right? Follow your heart. It'll never lead you astray. That's the mantra of our age, isn't it? I mean, you get to any of those teenage rock songs, the rock singer comes on and he's like, with his wispy voice, "Listen to your heart, baby," right? It's always about the heart. And then you see young people today dating, and they're about to choose a mate for the rest of their lives. Is their question, is this a wise choice? Is this a godly person and a noble and a good person? Or is it like, hey, I know he's sometimes abusive and a drunkard and somewhat violent to me occasionally, but I love him. My heart just feels love. I have to follow my heart. I have to follow emotions. And goes on ahead with it. Where do people get all this? Follow the heart. It'll never lead you astray. Well, I think it's like in nearly every Disney movie growing up when you're a kid. In fact, I came across this quote from someone writing about the lessons from Mulan, the animated story, which is actually a good movie, kind of interesting, but the person said, here's the lesson. Even if your heart tells you to shrug off your solemn vow and pursue your own happiness at the expense of thousands of lives, go for it, right? Follow your heart. You gotta follow your heart. Such is the teaching of our age. Our world worships feelings. And Naomi and I were watching a sitcom some time ago. Sam Allen, you know the comedian? And he was a grandfather, and he's taking his grandson to this daycare center, which is like a new agey daycare center. And one of the kids in there cries, and then the daycare provider comes tiptoeing and pirouetting and ballerina-like over to the little boy and says, "Did I hear a feeling? Let's bring out that feeling and validate that feeling." Well, such is our world. Gives feelings center stage to validate them. Tim Allen's like, "Give me a break." In counseling, if you go to a counselor these days, what is like their first number one question they always want to ask? "And how does that make you feel?" And do you keep going along there in the thoughts that perhaps the emotion or the heart will lead you in the right way to go? And so we see in a lot of divorces these days of couples, "Well, I have to leave you because my heart desires someone new, someone more exciting, and I just don't feel love anymore. The romance is over. My heart, and I must be true to my heart, tells me to find someone new." And so that's the mantra of our age, right? The heart. Follow the heart. It'll never lead you astray. It's the infallible guide. It is the supreme commander. It must be obeyed. Follow the heart at all costs. And why not, says the world? What else is there for us to follow? And to the world, there is nothing else. But here again, we come to the question, is it wise? What is it wise for us as Christians to follow our hearts? What does God say to us about that? Well, he says to us, beware, my children, the heart. Let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. God says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? Let me say that again. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. So that word for deceitful, which God is describing your heart in the Bible, is the word in Hebrew, akab, which means, and I'll give you a quote, it means bumpy terrain, uneven, deceitful, sly, insidious, and fraudulent. So let me ask you a question. If you're out in the woods and you're lost and you don't know where to go and you need a guide, and a guy comes up to you and says, I'll be your guide. And you say, great, let's see your resume. And he says, here's my resume. I'm deceitful, insidious, sly, and fraudulent. Would you follow the person? Well, God says, such is your heart. Don't trust it. Ecclesiastes 9 says, the hearts of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go down to the dead. I'll share with you a little story about the foolishness of following the heart. Just an earthly story. It reminds me of a show I heard of once, like a bachelor or a bachelorette type of show, where there's one guy that all the girls are going for, but they've all been eliminated, save two. And the two girls who are left are out on stage in the front, and the guy's in the back. He's going to come out and choose which girl he wants. And so the girls get a choice. Before you hear who he wants, you can either take $1 million right now or wait for your love. And one girl, sort of weepy and emotional, said, I'll choose love. I'll choose him because I know we're soulmates. We can never be apart. The other says, give me $1 million. Well, the guy comes out and he gets down on his knees and he says, you're the one. You're my girl. You're the one I love. And happened to be the girl with $1 million. She says, sorry, honey, I chose $1 million. The other girl now has her heart broken. When she gave her heart, not guarding it, when he could have gone for this other woman as well, and she found out they weren't soulmates. So the only person who comes out of this well is the woman who said with her head, look, I've only known this guy a couple of weeks. Here's $1 million. I'll go with $1 million. And she came out ahead. And so she used her head, but those who used their hearts were fools. Not to say that as Christians we are to follow our head. That's not my point. But my point is it's foolish to follow our hearts and put our whole trust in them. For Proverbs 28, verse 26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. And Jesus said, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. Is that the kind of guy that you'd want? Following it gets you into all kinds of trouble in life. And it's sort of like when I was sailing tall ships at sea. If you were to just follow the stars and steer by the stars, you'd soon get shipwrecked because the stars are tracking across the sky. They're unreliable, and such is the human heart. And so is the heart to be trusted? I'd say no more than the changeable stars over a restless and troubled sea. And by following it, many people have been lost in shipwreck. But now to our question once again, then what is wise for us to follow? If not the heart, what then? Well, God tells you. He says, follow my word. Above all things, beyond your heart, let this trump the heart, follow my voice. Follow my words. In fact, the whole Bible is ultimately about that, isn't it? The problem with people and God is that they won't hear his voice. Listen to what God says, and this basically summarizes everything in the Bible. Jeremiah 7, verse 24, God says, but they did not obey or incline their ear, to his words, but they walked in the stubbornness in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts. And they went backward and not forward. But there is one star in that sky, if you're on a tall ship at sea, that you can steer your course by. One star there in the heavens that will never move. It's an ever fixed mark. It never changes its position, called the North Star, Polaris. And you can steer by that star, for it is an ever reliable beacon. It is fixed in the night sky. It never moves. And I'll tell you, for us, that star is the Word of God. God says, Psalm 119, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is firmly fixed in the heavens. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path." All scriptures inspired by God, says Paul. Jesus says, scripture cannot be broken. And the proverb says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Amen? That's what we're to follow. Will you chart and steer your course in life by the word of God and have it trump your heart and your emotions and your feelings whenever your heart and feelings and emotions go contrary to it? That's the question. And remember, we have this great promise, John 8, Jesus says, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Yes, that's great. But now we need to ask this question is, okay, not trust our hearts, but does that mean, what place do they have? What our heart, our feelings, our emotions, am I to shut them down entirely, have nothing to do with them, ignore them forever? Is there ever a time when we can follow our heart? Well, I'd say there's never a time to follow our heart, but there are times when we can let it advise us in the right way to go. When? Whenever our hearts, our emotions, our feelings are in line with the Word of God, then they may be giving us good advice and we could follow that. Whenever our heart and will and emotions are contrary to this Word, this book of truth God's given us, we need to destroy them and cast them out as evil. Let me give you an example when we could follow our heart. 2 Samuel 6, or 7, actually. Now when King David dwelt in his house, the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies round about. The king said to Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. And Nathan said to the king, go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. He had a good and noble thought, and he got the blessing, go for it. Of course, God says, it was good that it was in your heart, David, but your son will build the house, but you can gather the materials. When can you follow your heart? Your emotions. When they want to move you in a direction as an advisor, when they're in accord with the word. Valentine's Day, y'all romance your wives yesterday? Really? I should have had another sermon then. How about if I want to romance my wife and give her a surprise and show her that I love her? What does the Bible say? The Bible says, nourish and cherish your wife, love her as Christ loves the church. If I have a desire on my heart that says, I want to do a surprise for her and love her and do something good for her, go for it. Follow. Let the heart advise there, because it's in line with the Word of God, right? And give her a gift. Or I was up in Wisconsin once at a restaurant, and I saw a lonely man next to us, next table over, pizza place, and he looked very lonely. And my heart said, go speak to him. And I said, what? And I said, okay, I'm going to follow my heart here. That's in line with the Word. Shared with him about Christ. I think we paid for his meal. And he was a homeless man, and he was brought good cheer by that, because my heart was advising in a good way there. And that's as an advisor. Remember what God says? In the old days, it says he promised, a new heart I'll give you. In Ezekiel, he promises, a new spirit I'll put within you. I'll take out of your flesh the heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Be careful to observe my ordinances. In Christ, God promised to put a heart into your core here that wants to do the word. And that heart we can listen to. That heart can advise us. But my point today is, be ever wary and not fall in with the ways of our culture, and trust the heart. For the heart is deceitful. It's fraudulent, it's sly, it's insidious. And my goodness, it can reason you into anything. If you want to do something evil, the heart will find a way to justify it. Don't trust it, says God, but trust my word in all things and follow that. Let my word rule. And so, as for your hearts, as for your emotions, as for your feelings, then what of them? How should we view them? And pay attention here. God says this. You are to rule your hearts and not let your hearts rule you. You rule your emotions. You rule your feelings. You rule your heart and bring them after my word. And whenever your heart goes contrary or your feelings contrary to this word, destroy them as evil. Rule them. The world's going to say, you can't do that. Your heart is too powerful. Your feelings, your emotions, they must be obeyed. They're supreme. That's hogwash, says God. You rule your hearts. Let me prove that to you. Proverbs 16:32 says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Rule your spirit. Have control. Jesus says in John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In other words, the disciples were afraid. It was rising in them. Feelings, emotions. He says, put them into submission. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then also in Proverbs 23:17, it says, don't let your heart envy sinners. Don't let it go after those other things. It wants to. Rein it in. Put the reins on it. But continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. And God said to Joshua, be strong and have good courage, for you're going to cause this people to inherit the land which I promised to their fathers. Only be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be of good courage. Don't be frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He had emotions, friends. Joshua was like you and I are. He felt fear, but God said, put it into submission. You're mine. I've appointed you. Go forward with my word. You see how we can do that? And God gives us the heart and the spirit to do that. Let my word be your king and be a free and courageous people. And this reminds me of an analogy, how I kind of picture it in my life. Okay, I'm always after a nautical military image, right? I mean, you're used to that about me, right? Well, let me give you a nautical military image here. You can choose your own image if you want. But I picture myself like a World War II battleship. And I'm the captain, Jesus is the admiral, and my emotions and my feelings, they're officers. Some are petty officers, some are chief officers. And whenever I have feelings that come into me, like fear, doubt, worry, fear of death, anxiety, those are petty officers. They want to come over and take over my bridge, right? Over the con and steer the ship. I say, thank you for your advice. That'll be enough. Go back to your quarters. And if they continue to stir up trouble, because they're very meddlesome petty officers, then I say, Sergeant at Arms, if they resist, you have my permission to shoot them. Get back to your quarters. I've done that, actually, when I've had fear, wrestled with it. I said, get back to where you belong. Go by the word of God. And then you might have, lust come in. He's a traitor. Let him be shot on the spot. Anxiety comes in, and you say, no, let the day's untrouble be sufficient for the day. Fear comes in, and you say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If doubt and fear of death come to the bridge, I know them to be traitors through and through as well. Be gone, I say. For it's written, Christ has delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. And then you know what I do? To go peacefully to sleep, I'll set my chief officers in charge of my bridge, which I love, whom I love. Faith, hope, love, step forward. You all have the con. You have command. Take care of the ship. And then I speak to the chief navigator, the word of God. I say, how's our course? He says, good, sir. And I love him because his name is the Word of God. And God says, be wary. Proverbs 4 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Don't just let it ooze out and flow here and there and throw it to the winds. Guard it, keep it, direct it, rule it by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God that's within you. And Jesus alone, my friends, had the perfect heart, right? Without sin, perfectly righteous, absolutely pure. But see how even he ruled his own heart according to the word of God. For at the cross, he was greatly troubled, it says. He was distressed and sorrowful the night of his betrayal. But he then went to his father and said, Father, if you're willing, let this cup be removed from me. But if not, not my will, but your will be done. And so he put his own heart and his own will in order under the word of God, Jesus himself being the word of God. And then he went in that spirit and conquered for us, to set us free at the cross, dying for us to ransom us back to God, forgive our sins, and now we are conquerors with him through faith. And as we subdue all our lives joyfully to his word, we have this great promise once again: if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. So we'll conclude with these words from the hymn: Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. For unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass, the word, come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Is It Wise to Follow Your Heart? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 8 and 11 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to leave a comment on this message or hear more messages, you can go to ChristLutheran915.org. That's ChristLutheran915.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.